Today on the DML News Podcast, Joe Biden says he's going to get Florida come this election, while Trump raises $175 million for the New York courts. We've got racism. We've got basketball neglect, as far as I'm concerned, walking off the court during national anthem. A Mexican politician is killed. We got porno books. We got the whole nine yards today. Get ready. This is a big show, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Across from me is my son, Dennis. On the controls is my son, Ryan. And of course, I am DML. You have been with us for a long time, and we appreciate that. If you're watching us right now on Facebook or YouTube, or if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Rumble for that matter, we want you to know that you only get a portion of the show. It's a good portion, but the real meat is always saved in the back. And the reason why that's the case is because the censorship that is taking place in this country is insane. Yesterday, we talked to you, we showed you videos about how it is that the FBI is actually knocking on people's doors based on things that they're just simply posting on social media. The Gestapo is now in full swing under Joe Biden. And with that being said, there is only one place in the United States, as far as I'm concerned, that really does offer a wide range of freedoms that just make you feel as if you were in the old world of the United States. And that state I'm talking about is Florida. The 3.5 years that we have been here have been absolutely complete bliss in terms of feeling as if there is freedom outside your door every single minute. You want to carry yourself a gun? You can do it. You want to feel as if you are in a land where conservatism is accepted and loved and said, yeah, we believe in the general principles of God and country, you come to Florida. Joe Biden believes, Denny, that he has a snowball's chance in hell this come election down here in Florida, a state to where Ron DeSantis just won re-election as governor by a margin of more than 20 points, one of the biggest landslide victories in the United States in the longest time, and definitely the biggest one in Florida. We have had an onslaught of people from the conservative movement, if you will, move to Florida, like us, to escape the craziness of the left. What is Joe Biden saying? This is an article that was in The Hill. What is Joe Biden saying that he and his campaign is going to do to take over Florida?
So, yeah, this comes from The Hill. President Biden's reelection campaign announced Monday that it will aim to flip Florida, targeting the home of former President Trump. Campaign manager Julie Chavez Rodriguez said in a memo that investing in Florida is part of the Biden's campaign pathway to 270 electoral votes. Trump won the Sunshine State in 2020 with more than 51% compared to Biden's 48%. She said, "Make no mistake, Florida is not an easy state to win, but it is winnable. It is a winnable one for President Biden, especially given Trump's weak, cash-strapped campaign and serious vulnerabilities with his coalition." Chavez Rodriguez noted that the Biden campaign hired three operatives to run the campaign in Florida and that the state was part of the fall and spring ad buys, which were $25 million and $30 million spends, respectively. She also outlined that the Biden campaign has been focused on Latino outreach, and Florida has a large Cuban, Venezuelan, and Puerto Rican population.
Okay, so a few things here to go down other than the Biden campaign is about as delusional as he is. First of all, the last time I checked, and I haven't checked since the election of Ron DeSantis for his second time on the governor's seat, which is almost 2 years ago. It's how fast time's flying. Ron DeSantis has drawn an extra 500,000 conservatives, Republicans, to the state of Florida. 500,000 people moved into this state recently. That's the differential of red versus blue. Now, when you look at the amount of small elections here in the state of Florida that were traditionally gone to blue side, now gone to red. The school board is a prime example. We flipped so many different school boards from blue to red in the last election. There is no operative, there is no campaign that is going to make the people of Florida feel as if we should abandon what we have in place right now. There is not a chance that Joe Biden will win this state. Not a chance. There is nowhere in this state where a blue wave is taking place. So the good news here is that President Trump's new home, because New York used to be his home, Florida is now his home. President Trump is going to dominate the state. He is going to dominate all the states. This may be one of the biggest runaway elections ever if the Republican Party can learn how to fight fire with fire when it comes to these mail-in ballots and the early voting and everything else of that nature. One of the things I have a concern about, and there was an article about this. I saw this on Twitter. I didn't read the full thing. I didn't have to. The headlines was enough. They said Trump and the RNC says that they are really working actively to get the word out about this coming election and all the things that people have to do. And they said, but yet they haven't given any details. I will say that I am a little bit afraid of what I'm seeing and what I'm not seeing. I'm seeing a lot of President Trump in trouble with the courts, in trouble with these radical prosecutors. That alone is a great campaign for him because he gets a lot of free pressies there all the time. But I'm not sure that the conservatives in this country understand yet how exactly to push back against a radical left, which specializes, as far as I'm concerned, in devious, unbecoming activity when it comes to elections.
I am worried. Because to your point, I mean, we have 200 and something days left until November. And you're right, right? Like, there's a good rallying cry for every time one of these court cases comes back into the cycle. And especially when Trump gets the small win, such as not having to post that insane original bond amount. But, you know, when you look at the bigger picture, and we were watching a program last night where Mike Johnson was on, and he was asked about, like, you know, what's going to be the strategy here with the mail-in ballots and with making sure there's no, well, let's just say the new slogan is too big to rig. That's the new big MAGA slogan that's been going on. And it's like he gives the answer, but the answer doesn't have a solid, concrete confirmation. So
what was the answer, do you recall?
Well, a big thing that was brought up as well was that there was a slim GOP majority right now in the House. I mean, I think we have the slimmest majority of all time by one vote. And his answer was articulate, and he said, we're going to be on top of it, and the RNC is going through changes, and we're working with Lara Trump. But, you know, Lara Trump just got in there, and if you already kind of look at the funneling system of the RNC, and I don't blame them, but I'm kind of giving the layman's terms, but the way they're accessing their money now is that a good portion is going to Trump campaign, which is then being put to the legal fees that he has to cover.
Right.
So how much of this money is then, once it's all funneled out, going to actually, you know, such as campaigning in Florida to make sure that it stays red? Now, I'm confident, mostly, that it's going to stay red, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if there's almost like a vendetta campaign. I mean, he's already hired three of these executives to start, meaning Biden, to start the campaign of trying to win Florida. I get a little worried there. I don't think it's going to flip, but at the same time, what if this is the groundwork being laid out to start turning a state that we're hoping stays firm red into something a little more purple?
The greatest... The biggest two topics that exit polls show and just random polling and surveys show that matter to Americans right now is the border and the economy. Inflation just continues to stay high. People are paying higher for their mortgage. They're paying higher for gas. They're paying higher for food. Interest on credit cards is out of this atmosphere. I just saw something yesterday about an article saying that people are actually just gouging their savings in order to stay afloat. So I don't see Biden anytime soon plugging up that border. I just don't see it happening. And that will stay prevalent. I mean, we're going to talk in a couple minutes here about more stories that are circulating the internet about these illegal aliens and what they're doing to American citizens. It's just crazy. And that's why we highlight them every single day. We're hoping that people will share. You know, when they listen to the show, they'll share it. They'll hit the share button. People will learn more about it. The part about the economy that has me a little bit scared is that I've said this all along, and I know I'm going to be proven to be right. You're going to see the Fed lower interest rates just prior. They'll probably do at least two times that they'll lower the interest rates prior to the election. And so people will start to see more money in their pocket. The other thing, too, is that you'll see that gas prices will drop down. It's the same thing every single time. It's going to drop down. So when people are going to start paying less in gas and their interest rates are going to go down, which means their mortgage and their credit cards are going to go down, they're going to start to say, hey, maybe this economy is turning around. And maybe I should just stick the course and just let Biden get his full 8 years. That, to me, is a little bit of a concern, because I think when you look at the border and you look at the economy, although for people like us, we will see that the border is the bigger problem long term, because economies are cyclical. The border isn't cyclical. The border is open and our country is changing forever. That's where my biggest concern is. The news out today is that Trump did come up with his $175 million to basically push off things, so this way the appeals court or the appeals process can start. Trump is consumed right now with an incredible amount of legal bills. And those bills are only going to get bigger as all these court cases start to pound on each other. So we do have some big hurdles here facing us. We have headwinds. Do I think that we're going to see states like Texas and Florida flip to Biden? Absolutely not. Where does Trump's energy has to be put in? It has to be put into states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana, Arizona, places where it has been thin margin the entire time. That's where he has to go back to his 2016 approach, to where I'm going to go hit the Rust Belt. The Rust Belt is where people are really feeling it, manufacturing and farming and things of that nature. So that's what Trump's strategy has to be. I think his rallies will help a lot. The issue is that in 2016, and then far less in 2020, and it's almost going to be non-existent in 2024, is that his rallies used to be an attraction for the television set. The networks wanted to be there. They're not giving him that attention anymore. So it's going to be much harder for him to get out there and get exposure.
Totally. And I think we're going to actually see a lot of less attention even being directed to Biden. I mean, when you look at his recent Easter ceremony, it was disastrous. I mean, Al Roker, I don't know how he kept a straight face. So I'm going to say that the obvious alternative here of who they're going to make the poster boy for him was clear as day last night, because we were watching another news program and there was a reporter. It was for Fox News, and he was asking people who were standing outside that big event that they had last week in New York City for Biden, you know, crazy Democrats. And it makes me realize, okay, there are some just mindless people out there. But they asked, who are you here to see tonight? Obama, 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 Obama. Bill Clinton, Obama, Obama, Obama. And that is who they're going to probably prop up for the next few months.
Definitely
prop up for the next few months, because I think, and I'll attribute this to Ryan if he wants to add in, Trump may be the king of the Republican Party right now. Biden might be president, but the king of the Democrats unquestionably is Barack Obama. I mean, like, I think he's the emperor of the Democrats at this point. I mean, the fact that they're all there and they were naming the ticket prices that they paid for, and it's like, you know, 200 plus and you
200
know,
plus people were paying $100,000 to have a picture taken with Biden, Clinton, and Obama. If you take Obama out of that picture, people aren't paying $5,000.
Of course not. No one's there to go see Biden. And I mean, no one's really there to go see Bill either, or if it was Hillary. It comes down to him, Obama. Like he's out of office, and yet he's still not out of sight. I mean, he was just in the UK at the embassy, and everyone wants to know why. And it's because he's probably doing some policy.
Obama is controlling the White House, Dennis. He's doing it through proxy. He's got his claws in the White House through the people who are all surrounded around Joe Biden. You can see everything. Look, I go back to say what it is that I've been saying for the past, oh my God, it's 8, 12, 13, 14, 14 years I've been involved in this stuff now. Barack Obama, point blank, said he was going to fundamentally transform this country.
He was the one, by the way, who made the official declaration for Transvisibility Day.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Because he understands what he needs to do in order to win and what he has to do in order to make people look like they're radicals. Okay? So Barack Obama knows that the way that you transform this country is that you change its population. You change its attitude. You change its perspective on everything. This is why you're seeing the amount of stories that we're going to talk at the end of the show today about LGBTQ. This is why you're going to see everything's about race and racism. Look what we have here out of New York. You ready? With the FDY. Listen to this. A Brooklyn federal court, Judge Nicholas Gafuris, reportedly cited the incident involving members of the New York City Fire Department booing State Attorney General Letitia James and chanting in favor of former President Trump last month in suggesting that a racist culture persists at the FDNY, the fire department. Gafuris recently ordered FDNY Commissioner Lara Kavanaugh and the city's corporation counsel, Sylvia Hinz-Radix, to appear before him at a status conference scheduled and discuss the settlement in the Vulcan Society of Black Firefighters case against the FDNY in May. At the last status conference on March 14, Vulcan Society President Regina Wilson complained to Gafuris about a March 8 incident where some members of the FDNY booed James and chanted Trump, Trump, Trump as the attorney general took the stage during a promotion ceremony at the Christian Cultural Center in Brooklyn. All right. I don't know if you had an opportunity to just see the vile nature of these members, even when we were at a Christian cultural center where they started booing and saying Trump, 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 while Letitia James was at the podium, Wilson said, referencing the incident that sparked an internal probe and prompted Kavanaugh to apologize. This behavior is who this department is who this department is. Not all of them, but a large portion of them. So when black people go to work and have a deal with this, and you don't get any help or support really from the department, it's horrific. So what they're trying to say right now is that firemen who were in the crowd were chanting Trump with Letitia James because they're racists.
It's BS. If it was Engeron, the judge who was up there for, I don't know, a meeting of all lawyers and they started chanting, you know, what's next? That it's anti-Semitic? No, it's not. Race, it's not religion. It is literally the actions of people that are doing things outside of the law, but trying to use their bending of the law, saying that this is the right thing to do. Because again, that is a court case or a lawsuit where who is the victim here? Who got victimized? Where is that money actually going to?
You're talking Trump's money.
Trump's money, yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no, people booed Letitia James because they're just kind of sick of the fact that she, and whether it's Jack Smith or Alvin Bragg or Fannie Willis, whoever, are going after Trump in such a blatant political way that it, you know, if you're a firefighter and you're being told, by the way, that the thin red line flag no longer should exist, you're probably just at your wit's end. Mm-hmm. And so it's just spin at this point. And you got to every time I see that they're trying to make it about race, it's not. All right. The FDNY is full of diverse people who protect that city. It is not about being black or white. It's just about someone abusing their power.
How do you say this? The weaponry of the left has always been name calling. Throw a name, an egregious name onto somebody. Call them a racist. Call them a pedophile. Call them this and call them that. Put them on their heels. Make them to defend their statement. Make them prove that they're not. It's how do you prove that you are not a racist? What do you say? Well, I'm not a racist. My brother is married to a black woman. That's what people start doing. That's what they start saying. We have to ignore this. We have to ignore this. They throw it in our faces all the time to try to make us sound as if we're guilty of something that we're not guilty of. Now, with that being said, the poison of Barack Obama, the poison of this whole everything is racist, still continues today. We have this whole thing going on right now about the LSU basketball team not showing up for the national anthem in what is called March Madness. What do you have on that? And we have a video of this, don't we? Should Ryan be playing this video?
Yeah. He
Ryan, did. Why don't you play the video over when Dennis is giving the explanation here?
So LSU women's basketball came under fire on Monday night after the team didn't come out for the national anthem before its regional final game after the Iowa Hawkeyes. A video from OutKick's Dan Zashevsky showed Iowa players holding hands during the rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. LSU had left the court right before the anthem was played. And if you want a smile on your face, Iowa won the game 97-84 behind Caitlin Clark's 41 points. And Caitlin Clark, by the way, is, I know many people do not watch women's basketball, but she is the best player in that league. Look, this is definitely something that's been also done by LSU before, where they just blatantly completely walk off the court, not showing any sort of respect to the national anthem. And yet, you know, Iowa's team is there holding hands and standing respectfully. Ryan, what's your take on this?
He gives in his take on this, let me ask you a question. I don't watch basketball. I didn't see the video. The LSU team, is it by and large white or black?
Mostly black players.
Mostly black. The Iowa team, is it mostly white or mostly black?
Mostly white.
Oh, that tells a story. What's your take on that, Ryan?
It's actually a funny video, or it's not funny, but there's a video that has the locker room and how Iowa, like, pregame celebration versus the LSU. So can I play that clip?
Go right ahead.
Basically, LSU, you know, more African-American. They're playing very derogatory music and jumping all crazy. And then you see Iowa, they're playing nice music and just like having a nice time. So I think it kind of shows you the attitude of both teams.
Of course. Of course. There was probably, imagine there being prayer in the Iowa, the locker room. You know, look, you know, they try to use race to disguise the statistics, to disguise the behavior, in the sense that they will make us out to be that we're haters. And what is it that we hate? We hate the rule of law? No. We embrace the rule of law. We embrace Christianity. We embrace the nuclear family. We embrace everything that this country was built on. And when we see things crumble, we point it out. Now, grant you, if there is a group of white guys taking a knee for the national anthem, I'm calling that out just as much as I am when I see the black guy, you know? But they don't ever recognize that. They're just going to wait for us to say something about a minority group. Now, I'll give you the next story here, just moving into something that is immigration-based. Ryan, I want you to take this guy's face, and I want you to put it up there. All right? This is from Libs of TikTok on X, or Twitter. It says, breaking, Nivenson Saranzin, an illegal alien from Haiti, was just arrested in Florida after he sexually assaulted a 10-year-old girl. 10-year-old. He was also found to be in possession of child pornography. Biden's open border policies are harming our children. And we're putting this guy's face up there. He's not a white dude. He's from Haiti. Does this make us racists because we're pointing out that this man has done what he's done to a 10-year-old girl? I mean, my goodness gracious, this is Joe Biden. You think that he's going to be able to go to Florida? If he comes to Florida, we should put this guy's face up on every billboard and say, this is Joe's newcomer.
There is such a simple way, because I get so angry. And this is when I realize that also our law system is so flawed as well. There is a very simple way to curb sexual assault of minors, rape of minors, and child pornography too. And I can't say it on this show, but I'm sure the implication is there. It's a way to make sure that they would never be able to do it again. And it doesn't involve just putting them behind bars. It is as pretty much imagination, leave it to the imagination of what you can probably understand what I'm saying here. But if we were to implement something like that, this would stop. There would be no raping of children, especially by illegals. There'd be no child pornography possession. It would be over. And instead, we give them these petty little sentences, or in worser cases in these liberal cities, they're just released eventually, and they just go and do it again. I mean, this is why this country right now is very weak, and I would love to see it, whether it's Trump or some other future president that's got more valuable principles than our current president, implement some kind of executive order that puts an end to this, because that is just shameful.
Okay, so now the next one. I don't know who your camera has on, Ryan, but maybe you go to me. I'm sure you can see a little bit of this. This is not a white guy. Doesn't look like me, but if it was a white guy, I'd be holding up his picture as well, okay? Just so happens to be that his name is Fermin Teodoro Lopez Mendoza, all right? No, it's not, you know, Dennis Lynch. It's not Bill Smith or anything like that. No, it is Fermin Teodoro Lopez Mendoza was recently arrested for a stabbing. He is in the country illegally. Fond du Lac County Sheriff Ryan Watchsmith says ICE is not currently putting immigration holds on illegals who violate traffic laws. Biden's Oprah policy is allowing people like Mendoza to get away with crimes and hurt people in our country. Here he is. Does this make me a racist because I'm holding up his picture of what he's done, stabbing somebody? I mean, this is unreal. This is unreal. And here's the countries, you know, these people come from places that don't understand what life is supposed to be like. They come from horrible, horrible, horrible places. There is a story right now. Dennis is going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. It is about a politician who was trying to run for office in Mexico. Go ahead, Dennis. Tell the story.
A candidate for mayor of a violence-wrecked city in Mexico has been killed just as she began campaigning, marking yet another politician to be shot dead in the country in recent weeks. Two authorities in the north-central state of Guanajuato said candidate Bertha Gisela Gaitan Gutierrez was shot to death on a street in a town just outside the city of Celaya. Mayorships in Mexico often included smaller surrounding communities. The authorities were not authorized to be quoted by name. Video of the scene posted on social media showed a small procession of people shouting Morena, the name of Gaitan's party. At that moment, several shots can be heard and people are seen running and falling down. Just hours before she died, Gaitan posted a message on Facebook showing her meeting with local residents. Together with determination and commitment, we will achieve the change we so long for.
Now, this is something I want to say. I've said it a million times over and over and over and over again. You know, and if you know, the attitude of this program or people who listen to our program was that of a racist, I wouldn't say this sort of thing. I bet you that if you took the people of Mexico, let's just make it an easy number to play with. Let's just say, for instance, there was 100 million people in Mexico, and you were to ask them all privately, and they knew that they were not going to be exposed for their thoughts. Would you like to see the cartels gone? Would you like to see your country have a fair, democratic, democracy, rule of law driven country? I guarantee you, that 99 million of those people would say yes. The 1 million who would say no are the cartel members. But here's the problem. The 99 million people don't have the power. The 1 million have the power. They have the guns. They got the weaponry. They're the violent ones. When you get somebody who's trying to get up and make change, what happens? They get shot down. That's where these people are coming from. So you want to believe that we've got people coming in from other countries and are going to be able to adapt to what it is that we have here? Absolutely not. And with that being said, what's happening in this country is we're starting to adapt what they have there. We're starting to accept these massive crimes. We're starting to accept this massive corruption that has taken over our country. Now, we're going to talk about things going forward here that are literally insane. This whole LGBTQ stuff in the military and in the schools and the pornography in the schools and anti-whiteness, all this stuff, these are stories that are coming out of all major places, Fox News, the New York Post, you name it. We can't talk about it on social media because if we talk about it on social media, we'll get kicked off and we'll be one less voice that's out there. So this is why we always say the most important person in the room, not the smartest, the most important person in the room is you, the person who's listening right now or the person who's watching. You've got to come over to us. The more that you learn, the more that you're exposed to, the more that you can share other people. You're educating yourself on things that you're not going to get from the news feed. Facebook has already said, from a political standpoint, their news feeds are going to be lacking anything of substance when it comes to political information from now to the election. Google is absolutely burying things. Dennis was just telling me about a story before we came on here. We were discussing whether we should get into it or not. Maybe we'll get into it another day here. Google now in a lawsuit about how it is that they were attacking people and censorship. So the key here is that if you can't speak about it because you're going to get blocked or your reach is going to get delegitimized, come on over to Team DML. Here's what you do. It's real simple. If you have a laptop or a desktop, just simply go to teamdml.com and you could sign up to become a member. If you have a smartphone or a tablet of some kind, just download from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store, the DML News app. That's DML as in Dennis Michael Lynch, DML News app. Download it. You turn the notifications on, you go to tab 5, the interact tab, and right there and then you will see Team DML memberships. Come on over. We have different various things that you can sign up for as low as $2.50 per month to make sure you get this full show and all of our other shows. And we have a lot of other shows that we put out. You'll be in a live chat with like-minded people and you can just speak your freedom. Do we go in there and do radical, crazy things? Absolutely not. We talk about the things and we give you the stories that they won't let us play, that they'll tell us that it goes against the violations of the policies. The policies, what? I'm not allowed to show you what a school district is putting out on the shelves for children? And that's why we ask you to come over. You want to keep us in business? You want to keep voices like ours alive? You're going to have to come on over and you just depart with a couple of bucks. So please help us help you. That's that. This show now only continues on for those people who are Team DML. And we appreciate you being with us all the time.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.